Greetings from the Creation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Guise, Tennessee. Today, we're speaking about the spirit of prophecy. Actually, this is the first time that I've done this subject on spirit of prophecy per se. The old sermon title was The Testimony of Yahshua, or The Testimony of Jesus. The reason I converted it to the spirit of prophecy was because I want to emphasize that aspect of the testimony. Let's turn to Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Yahshua. Worship Yahweh, for the testimony of Yahshua is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Yahshua. The state of being verb there is equates the two. The testimony is the spirit. The testimony of Yahshua is the spirit of prophecy. What is spirit? In the original language, spirit is human breath. Vital principle. Mental disposition. What is prophecy? Prophecy is prediction. So, the spirit of prediction. The vital principle of prediction. The mental disposition of prediction. Now, interestingly, Seventh-day Adventists will tell you that the spirit of prophecy is a collection of books written by Ellen G. White. It is impossible for this scripture to be narrowed to that meaning, because this scripture was written by John on Patmos in about 98 A.D., and he did not say, the testimony of Yahshua will be the spirit of prophecy. He says, is. It's by definition the spirit of prophecy. Now, I will not try to debate the fact that the writings of Ellen G. White have the spirit of prophecy, have the characteristic of the spirit of prophecy, and thereby can be called the spirit of prophecy. But it is not, certainly not limited to those volumes of writings. So, what is important about the spirit of prophecy? Well, let's turn to Romans 12:6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. According to the proportion of faith. All prophecy is in proportion to faith. The breath that's required to prophesy or predict, that vital principle or that mental disposition to make a prediction of truth, is in proportion to one's faith. And what is the faith? Well, it's the faith of Yahshua. Let's turn to Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. So it's to the proportion of the faith of Yahshua that we have the spirit of prophecy. And the scripture did say in Revelation 19:10 that the testimony of Yahshua is the spirit of prophecy. So the testimony of Yahshua, the faith of Yahshua, and the spirit of prophecy are all bound together as one. Let's turn to Revelation 12:17 then. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua the Messiah, or have the spirit of prophecy. The remnant of her seed. What does remnant mean? Her seed, of course, is a continuation of the body, the true body of believers. But the remnant is the last part, isn't it? The remnant is made up of the remaining ones, the residue, those that are left over. This has to be speaking about those in the very last generation who keep the commandments, all of the commandments, in spirit and in letter, and not only keep the commandments, but they have the very testimony, spirit, and faith of Yahshua. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Of course, Paul thought that he would be alive, and he would remain. That's why it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. There's always been hope for every generation that they might see the coming, the final coming of Christ. If Paul had thought he would not be alive to see that, of course, he could have lost courage. He could have been discouraged by the thought. But he was always encouraged by the thought that he may be in that last generation of believers who have the faith of Yahshua, those who keep the commandments of Yahweh, who have the spirit of prophecy. And believe me, Paul and the apostles had these characteristics. Let's turn to 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of Yahweh doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of Yahweh. It's very clear that the seed, Christ himself, remains in the believer who is born of Yahweh. Turning now to Matthew 24:25. Behold, Christ says, I have told you before. The spirit of prophecy can tell you before what's going to happen. Christ did so many times. Paul did so many times. The apostles did so many times. And the last church, the last believers, the remnant church who keeps the commandments of Yahweh and has the spirit of prophecy will tell what's coming ahead of time. They have the spirit of prophecy. They have the testimony of Yahshua. They have the faith of Yahshua himself. Matthew 16:21-23. From that time forth began Yahshua to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of Yahweh, but those that be of man. The spirit of prophecy savors those things that be of Yahweh. Peter was making the mistake of savoring the things of man, thinking with his own human logic, human conclusion, based in the flesh. The spirit of prophecy is going to be minding the things of Yahweh. In our daily lives, we have interaction with the world. We have interaction with people. We, as the remnant, will be minding the things of Yahweh. Even when we're at work or at play, we will be minding the things of Yahweh, not the things of man, nor the things of the world. John 2:19. Yahshua answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. This is an example of Yahshua telling them before it happens what he's going to do or what's going to happen. He's predicting the future. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Here we see Yahshua predicting the future once again, telling of the Spirit of truth, which will testify of Yahshua, and Yahshua himself will send this Spirit of truth. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Spirit of truth will show you things to come, because the Spirit of truth is the spirit of prophecy. The Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of prophecy, will testify of Yahshua, not of any other man or any other spirit. The Spirit of truth testifies of Yahshua. The Spirit of truth will disclose to you what is yet to come, future. 2 Timothy 4:18 gives us an example of Paul's testimony. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We see Paul here exercising the spirit of prophecy. He tells what will happen in the future. And it is the spirit of truth. John 8:29 gives us the personal testimony of Yahshua. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now this, you might say, well, Pastor, this is not telling the future. But I would argue differently. I would say this is telling the future. The Savior says, I do always those things that please my Father. He's telling about the future as well as the present and the past. And not only is it predicting the future, it is the Spirit of truth He's making a truthful point here. He's making a very firm statement. And those who worship Yahshua in spirit and in truth will say the same thing. Let's look at Paul's personal testimony here now in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What a powerful testimony. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He wasn't dead yet. He still had life to live, future life to live. But he tells it in a matter-of-fact way. He doesn't say, well, I hope I will finish my course, or by God's grace, I think I will have fought a good fight. No, he makes it very matter-of-fact. It is the spirit of truth. It is the spirit of prophecy. And he also predicts what is coming in the future. He says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And he goes further to say that all will receive this who love Christ's appearing. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:13 and 14. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Yahshua shall raise up us also by Yahshua and shall present us with you. Another powerful testimony given by Paul. Knowing what will happen in the future. Hebrews 11:5, we're going to look at Enoch's testimony now. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because Yahweh had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased Yahweh. Yes, Enoch pleased Yahweh. And Enoch was taken to be with Yahweh without suffering the first death, the physical death. Enoch is a rightful example of the experience of the 144,000 who live and remain until Christ's coming. Let's take a look at Abraham's testimony. Abraham's testimony is found in Genesis 22, 5 and 8. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, Yahweh will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. There's no question that Abraham had the spirit of prophecy. He told precisely what would happen ahead of time. It was the spirit of truth, and it happened just as he prophesied it. Let's look at the overcomer's experience. That will be found in Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him, that is the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. So in Revelation 12:11, we see three characteristics of the overcomers. They're covered by the blood of the Lamb. They have a testimony. Their word is the word of Christ. They speak the Spirit of Christ. They speak the truth of Christ. They have the spirit of prophecy. And they love not their lives even to death. They're willing to sacrifice their lives for the gospel, for the life and work of Christ. Now, to further expound upon this subject, I want to bring in a concept called the good confession. Paul speaks of a good confession, and let's find out what it is. 1 Timothy 6, 12 and 13. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of Yahweh, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Yahshua, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Let's look at that good confession that Yahshua gave before Pilate. John 18, 36 and 37. Yahshua answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Yahshua answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. There's a lot in that good confession, isn't there? Obviously, Yahshua's making it clear that his is a spiritual kingdom. His is not a kingdom of fine houses, fancy cars, a lot of money, fancy clothes, etc. His kingdom is not of big million-dollar sanctuary churches and such. His kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and he is a spiritual king. He says that he was born to come into this world as that king, and the primary purpose is to be a witness to the truth. Now, I would present to you the concept that every believer in Christ, every child of Yahweh, every born-again Christian is called to that same work, to be witnesses unto Yahweh, to be witnesses of the truth. We have come into this world as a kingdom of priests. We have come into this world to speak the truth, to live the truth, to teach the truth, and having the spirit of truth, the spirit of prophecy, we are empowered and equipped to do so. And thus we bear the good confession that Yahshua bore. Yahshua is a king of a kingdom that is out of this world. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are called out of darkness. We are called out of the world into his marvelous light. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. We should show forth the praises of him who hath called us. Why is it that the church in this generation is not showing forth the praises? It's because Christendom today is in captivity to Babylon. Christendom today is distracted by the world, by the fantasies of men and women, by the indoctrination of the devil himself. Everywhere you go, whether it's to a grocery store or a department store, you cannot help but hear the worldly music. You cannot help but see the worldly advertisements. You cannot help but be inundated by the world. And that's why we highly recommend that you keep your children from these venues, that you shelter your children, as it were, in this age of degeneration, this generation of vipers, because we want our children to learn the truth, not the ways of the world. Isaiah 43:10 through 12. Yahweh says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no almighty formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, that I am the Almighty. Without us as his witnesses, the world can never know that he is the self-existent one, that he is Yah." Actually, Yah means the self-existent one. "He is the creator. He is the God, the only true God, the only Almighty. But without a band of witnesses, without a cloud of witnesses, the world will never know that, because the world today teaches that there is no God, that we came from a Big Bang, or we came from a massive primordial goop or something. Today, the idea of the Creator is made to be fringe thinking, unscientific, and that sort of thing. But with a cloud of witnesses who have experienced the salvation, the truth, the spirit of prophecy, with these witnesses, Yahweh has a strong argument for his existence." And then, of course, logically, everything falls into place, because then the truth about nature comes to the front. The truth about medicine, the truth about health, the truth about all things, because the spirit of truth leads you into all truth. But Yahweh needs a cloud of witnesses. And these witnesses have the testimony of Yahshua, they have the faith of Yahshua, they have the spirit of prophecy. I'm reading now from Inspired Writing. "Our confession of Yahweh's faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. That which will be most effectual is the testimony of our own experience." Notice this. When our experience is the experience of truth, and when our testimony bears that truth, we have the testimony of Yahshua. The truth includes the faithfulness of Yahweh and his promises to us. His grace is sufficient for us, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Remember the promise of his faithfulness in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's turn there right now. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." But Yahweh is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. When Christendom believes this promise, they will become converted. When professed Christians choose to believe and apply this promise of 1 Corinthians 10:13, then they will be partakers of the divine nature, as Peter says. And then they will live the faith of Yahshua. They will have the testimony of Yahshua, and they will be speaking with the spirit of prophecy. For we know ahead of time that we will not fall to temptation, because there is no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man, and with every temptation, Yahweh is faithful to deliver us. So when Yahweh is faithful to deliver us, we can speak before the thing ever comes that we're going to be faithful, because He is faithful. And that in itself is the spirit of prophecy. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of Yahweh. What are the afflictions of the gospel? There are many. But one of the primary afflictions of the gospel are those temptations that Satan brings our way, those missiles that he sends our way. But when we have the whole armor of Yahweh on, those missiles have no effect on us. I once read in an old Adventist pioneer writing something to this effect, and I'm paraphrasing. At worst, the missiles of the devil are opportunities for us to build character. I like that statement. That's the worst possible thing the devil can do to us, is help us to build character. Because Yahweh is faithful to keep us in the faith when we're in submission to Him, the way Yahshua was. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1:7. For Yahweh hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear never comes from heaven. Yahweh has not given to His children a spirit of fear. The scripture says He has given us power. Power in Christ, the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. The power of God unto salvation. He has given us power over the devil. He has given us power over sin. He has given us power over this world. He has given us love. He has given us love for God and love for our fellow men. He has given us love for the sinners. He has given us love for all of Yahweh's creation. And He has given us a sound mind. He has taken away the defects in our minds, the fears that were in our minds, the false thoughts that we had in our minds. He has removed these things from us by His word. He has given us a sound mind. Let's look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, or beg of you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, that's our sound mind that He's given us. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. We are His witnesses to the spirit of prophecy. We are his witnesses to the testimony of Yahshua. We are his witnesses that may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. It's proven by us in our lives. Let's turn to 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, we may have feelings of fear. Feelings of fear can be temptations to fear. And there may actually be some healthy feelings of fear. If you walk up on a poisonous snake, to have a little fear is going to be helpful to you. It's going to be helpful as well, because that's a healthy kind of fear. We're not talking about healthy fear. We're talking here about irrational fear. Fear that is not justified. That kind of fear brings torment. We're not talking about getting out of the way of a poisonous snake. But even if we don't see the poisonous snake and we are bitten by the snake, then there's really no reason to fear. In fact, fear would cause the poison to spread throughout our bodies quicker and kill us faster. What we need to do is believe that if Yahweh did not show us the snake so that we could avoid it, he is now going to work a miracle in our lives to glorify his name and his character in us. So perfect love for Yahweh will cast out all of that fear, will cause us to be able to serve our fellow man, to minister to our fellow man, and to witness to them of the faithfulness of Yahweh. Now, there are, unfortunately, even among professed believers today, there are cowards and unbelievers. There are those with a carnal spirit. They don't have the spirit of prophecy. They don't have the testimony of Yahshua. They cannot tell you what will happen in the future by the power of Yahweh. Now, they will tell you what will happen in their lives in the future, but it's based on unbelief. They will say, what if I fall? What if I sin? What am I going to do then? How am I going to get forgiveness? And such as that. Or they will say, everybody's going to sin until Yahshua comes. They will tell you the future based on unbelief, not the spirit of truth. Yes, it will be true in their lives, only because they're devoid of the spirit of prophecy. They're devoid of the divine nature. They have not partaken of that divine nature that Peter speaks of. All of these who have Yahshua in their hearts, all who have been filled by the Spirit of God, will also be partakers of his divine nature. The Bible speaks of the cowards and the unbelievers in Revelation 21:8. But the fearful, in the modern translation, it says cowards. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It is a terrible truth that for those who refuse to accept the divine nature of Christ, for those who refuse to be born from above, for those who retain their fear, for those who grasp their cowardice, for those who remain in unbelief, they have a terrible end, which is the second death, total separation from Yahweh. And of course, they experience the ultimate cleansing by fire. That fire which is unquenchable. But on the other hand, we, the remnant, the Church of Christ in the earth, have the experience that Daniel had. And now I will read to you from inspired writing of this experience. Daniel's history is a remarkable one. He carried out his faith and principles against great opposition. He was condemned to death because he would not abate one jot of his allegiance to God, even in the face of the king's decree. It might, at this day, be called over-righteousness to go, as was his wont, three times a day and kneel before the open window for prayer. While he knew that prying eyes were observing him, and that his enemies were ready to accuse him of disloyalty to the king. But Daniel would allow no earthly power to come in between him and his God, even with the prospect of death in the den of lions. Although Yahweh did not prevent Daniel from being cast into the den of lions, an angel went in with him and closed their mouths, so that no harm befell him. And in the morning, when the king called him, he responded, "My God, my Almighty, has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." He was a noble, steadfast servant of Yahweh. Nothing is gained by cowardice or by fearing to let it be known that we are God's commandment-keeping people. Hiding our light as if ashamed of our faith will result only in disaster. Yahweh will leave us to our own weakness in that case. May the Lord forbid that we should refuse to let our light shine forth in any place to which he may call us. If we venture to go forth of ourselves, following our own ideas, our own plans, and leave Yahshua behind, we need not expect to gain fortitude, courage, or spiritual strength. Yahweh has had moral heroes, and he has them now. Those who are not ashamed of being his peculiar people. Their wills and plans are subordinate to the law of Yahweh. The love of Yahshua has led them not to count their lives dear unto themselves. Their work has been to catch the light from the word of Yahweh and to let it shine forth in clear, steady rays into the world. Fidelity to Yahweh is their motto. Let's turn to Mark 5:18 through 20. "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Yahshua suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Yahshua had done for him, and all men did marvel." And so it is. For the witnesses of Yahweh, who have the spirit of prophecy, who give the testimony of Yahshua, who speak the truth as it is in Yahshua, they tell what great things Yahweh and Yahshua have done for them. And do you know that all men marvel? Reading again, from the Inspired Counsel. Title is Perfect Faith. The scripture given is Proverbs 3:5, which says, "Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Here's the commentary. God is a very present help in time of need. If you will put your trust in Him, He will make His goodness pass before you. He will lead you by His counsel, His Holy Spirit, His providences, the teachings of His Word, all will be agencies in instructing you and leading you in the way of Yahweh. God's promise to you is, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Hebrews 13:5. Therefore, you may say with humility, yet with firm confidence, "This God is my God forever and ever." I am instructed to say to you, trust not in self, but trust in God. This is the measure by which we are judged in the sight of heaven: our faith in God. Seek earnestly to work the works of God. Ever maintain the simplicity of true godliness. "He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul." Proverbs 8:36. Study the scriptures, for there is nothing that will so firmly establish your faith in God or your belief in His truth as this. If you will have faith in God, you cannot fail of coming out victorious. Do not speak of trials and discouragements. Look away from these things to Christ. "Behold the Lamb of Yahweh, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1:29. You are the purchase of His blood. Do not disappoint the one who gave His life that you might be an overcomer. He was tempted on every point that you and I can be tempted on, and in order to resist, He spent whole nights in prayer and communion with His Father. Christ did not leave this world until He had made it possible for every soul to live a life of perfect faith and obedience, to have a perfect character. Revelation 3:14-16. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of Yahweh. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Dearly beloved, it is true that those who remain in their carnality, who remain in their unbelief, who refuse to partake of the spirit of prophecy, they will be spewed out of His mouth. But we, dearly beloved, are called to a higher calling. We are called to be a kingdom of priests, a peculiar people, a holy nation, having partaken of the divine nature. We, being born again, overcomers, are those witnesses that Yahweh has been waiting for. We are called to repentance. We are called to the new birth. We are called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Today, I encourage you, I exhort you to accept the testimony of Yahshua as yours, to partake of the spirit of prophecy, to receive the spirit of Yahweh into your hearts, to be filled with that Spirit so that you can say with Christ, I do always those things that please Him. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us the power of the gospel. We thank you that you have given us the love of Christ. We thank you that you have given us a sound mind, that you have taken that old heart of stone and given us a heart of flesh. We thank you, Father, that we have been born from above, that we no longer have the mind of man, but we do mind those things that are from above, those things that are of Yahweh. Thank you, Father, that we have given up the world and all of its attractions, and we have partaken of the divine nature which loves those things that are eternal, which loves the appearing of Christ, which longs to see the heavenly family at that reunion table in the near future. Thank you, Father, that you have an ark of safety, that you have a church that you have called to be a peculiar people, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests who minister before your presence. Thank you, Father, that we have the testimony of Yahshua. We have the spirit of prophecy, the gift from heaven. Dismiss us now, Father, with your great love and providential care until we meet again. For we ask these things in the holy and precious name of Yahshua, our Savior and coming King. Amen.